sometimes for the problems. All right, let's take our Bible this morning and turn to Revelation chapter number 10. And you can say amen when you get there, and I'll know you're there. Revelation chapter number 10, amen. Just turn to the back of your Bible. It's not hard to get this morning. But Revelation 10 and verse number 1 is where we'll start this morning. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. Now, that had to be an amazing sight. You think about that. He came down, there's a cloud, and there's a rainbow upon his head. And his face was as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders had uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that live forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in thine hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. Now think about that. One day John's coming back to prophesy of those things that were sealed in the book. That's an amazing thing. You never hear anyone preach on that, because we're always uncertain of what is actually going to take place during the great tribulation. But we're taking our text this morning out of verse number 6. Out of verse number 6. And I want you to notice there at the end of the verse, at the comma, notice this phrase, that there should be time no longer. And what I want to preach on this morning is this thought. And it's important to all of us. We're going to preach on this thought. Time's up. Time's up. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word. God, one day time's going to be up for this whole world. God, and all that's in it. And they think, the world thinks that they've been turned upside down on their head. Wait till the trumpet sounds. The world's really going to be turned upside down on its head. And time's going to be up one day. It's going to be up for every child of God. It's going to be up for every sinner. And God, Lord, help us to realize how late the hour is. And God, the clock's going to strike 12 and it's going to be over. Lord, I pray you'd help me to preach today and bless the word, encourage the child of God, convict us where we need it. Lord, bring some hell-bound sinner to the saving knowledge, that they might see that they don't have forever to choose you as Lord and Savior. Bless the word, help me to bring it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I preach on this thought of time's up, you know, time's a funny thing. We had a riddle for the kids, and in the riddle, it talked about time, and it's been said you can spend it, but it never runs out. Humanly speaking, isn't that so? I mean, you can spend time, but there's more time tomorrow, right? Until time's up. Until time's up. They say poor people have a lot of it, and rich people don't have enough. That's why Donald Trump gets up at 3 in the morning every day and goes to bed at 12 o'clock at night, because he knows the value of time. But most poor people, they lay around and they're bored to tears because they have too much time. Isn't that the truth? And but they say the less you have, or the less you use time, the less time you have. And there might be some truth to that as well. I was reading a thing about time, and they say in 70 years, we spend 20 years sleeping, 20 years working, 6 years eating. Some people, them numbers are probably different for other people. Maybe in Chattanooga, look at all the restaurants we got, right? 7 years playing, 5 years dressing. That teenager's probably spent 7 years on the phone. It's probably more than that. Because everybody's got a phone nowadays, right? We carry it around with us. 3 years waiting on somebody, and they say 2 years doing something else. And in that 2 years, less than a year is spent in church for the average person. In 70 years, less than a year is spent in church. Now, there was a time when that wasn't true. There was a time that people, hey, they spent a lot of time in church. But see, we're far removed from that. Things have changed, and time's almost up. The Bible said in the last days there'd be a great falling away. Have not we seen a great falling away? The one brother asked, you think COVID-19 is part of a great falling away? I think it could be. Because when COVID-19 is over, when folks have stayed home for a year or a year and a half, are they really coming back to church? The truth of the matter is, a lot of them are never coming back to church. They'll never step foot in a church again. And hey, there is a great falling away, no doubt about it. But you know, I believe this also. The Bible talks about the great evangelization. You say, what is that? Every church has online services now. Every church streams. So people all over the world and all over the nation, and even our neighbors, as I preach this morning, who have never been to church, they're listening on the broadcast. They're watching YouTube and sermon audio and Facebook. And you say, what happened? The gospel was going out in even a greater way than it was before COVID-19. And I believe that. And even though there's a great falling away of God's people, there's a mass opportunity to evangelize those that are without. And it's a funny thing. It is a funny thing. It's been said also that life is a book of volumes 3, the past, the present, and yet to be. The first is written and laid away. The second we're writing day by day. The next and the last of volume 3 is locked from sight, and God holds the key. I was on Facebook, and I don't try and spend too much on Facebook unless I'm looking to buy something because of all the crazy stuff on Facebook, right? You don't really want to see and hear, and you know, conspiracy is ripe in this country. Everything's a conspiracy, right? And but I saw a guy, and it was very funny, and I laughed. But he said this. He was talking about kids and their timeouts. You know, today kids get timeouts, right? And they're misbehaved. You got a timeout. You're getting a timeout. You're getting a timeout. Well, he said, when we were children and we were smart alecks, and he didn't say it that way. I can't say what he said. but he said, we didn't get timeouts. It was time up. And Mama grabbed her belt and beat our pants off. Time's up. You said the wrong thing. and my dad had that look on his face when you knew you said the wrong thing, but time's up. You're getting it, and we got it. And you know, and you think about that for a minute. That's what it says in verse 6. God's talking about this angel, this mighty angel that came down, and the judgment that's coming on the earth. And he says, hey, and there shall be time no longer. Time's up. One day, time's going to be up. The door of opportunity, the window of opportunity, the pathway of opportunity, they are going to close forever. Now, notice what happens when time's up, because time's going to be up. And we know that there'll be time no longer. We know in Revelation it says, and there shall be time no more. When time's up, the first thing I want to notice this morning is that our work will end. You know, one day it will all be over, and we're going to rest for our labors. I believe that. Time's going to be up, and the work will be come to an end. Look in Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 12. You're right there, Revelation 14 and verse number 12. Notice what he says. Here is patience of the saints, and here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. You say, what are people doing in heaven right now? They're resting. They're resting. And their works are going to follow them at the judgment seat of Christ. You know, we have all these ideas what people are doing in heaven. I assure you, they are waiting for the redemption of the body. Their soul is there. They're waiting for the new body. And they are resting, awaiting the coming day. And that bears out throughout the whole Bible. We'll get that in a minute. Look in Revelation chapter 6. Revelation 6, verse 9 to 11, and it says, And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held, may cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, and holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest, yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Thank God in heaven, people are resting. So what is it time to do now? Now's the time to work. All right, now's the time to do something for God, because one day it'll be over. John 9:4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. You say, why? One day time's going to be up. Time's up. And what then? You know, there is a day of rest for the child of God. And I'm looking forward to it. You know what everyone in this world, earthly, looks forward to? Retirement. We all look forward to getting up in the morning and having our house slippers on and having a cup of coffee. I was going to say read the newspaper, but the newspaper's this thin now. There's nothing in the newspaper. But we look forward to getting up and doing what? Nothing. Get up and do nothing. And that's retirement. I remember my mom and my dad, you know, and dad in his house slippers. He's got there in his glasses. He's listening to WLW, the news talk in the morning. He's got the paper in his hand. It was his daily ritual after he retired. And it was just relaxing a little bit. Okay. Well, thank God there is a rest one day for the child of God. Now's the time to work, but the day of rest is coming. Look in the book of Hebrews chapter number four. And this is what the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers. Let's pick it up in verse number one. It says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in that they heard it. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about the Old Testament Jews over there in chapter number 3, because they didn't go into the promised land because of their unbelief. And they didn't get to enter into God's rest, perfect rest that he had planned for them. But we are going to enter into God's rest. He says, for we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although their works were finished from the foundation of the world. One day our works are going to be finished. One day time's going to be up, and we're going to enter into that millennial kingdom that Jesus Christ has prepared for the child of God. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Remember, I always tell you, if the book of Genesis is wrong, so is the rest of the Bible, okay? And because God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. It's all throughout the Bible. And in this place again, they shall enter into my rest, seeing there remaineth that some must enter therein. They to whom it was first preached enter not in because of unbelief. We know that the rebellion of the children of Israel, they didn't get to go into the promised land, but their children did. And he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For as Jesus had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And for he that is entered into his rest, he also that ceased from his own works as God did from his, let us therefore labor to enter that rest, let us any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Thank God there is a rest for the people of God. Amen. You say, what did they do in the Old Testament? They were resting in Abraham's bosom. And it was a place of rest. And when Saul had, he called up the prophet Samuel, the first thing Samuel said is, why have you disquieted me? Hey, I've been taking a nap. What are you doing here? Let me tell you. I mean, the people in heaven, they're resting. And when Jesus comes, it's going to be just like they were sleeping for a few minutes. Because in heaven, there is no time, right? Amen. We're locked in time, but they're not locked in time. And, I mean, you know, and the funny thing is, humanity makes up movies to imitate what God does. Don't they have all these space movies where they put them asleep and they'll be asleep for 100 years and then they wake up and they look exactly like they did when they woke up? You say, where do you get that from? That's Bible. Right? People can read a Bible and say, hey, what are they doing in heaven? They're resting. And let me tell you, when it's time for them to come and Christ sounds the trumpet, hey, we're going to get up and we're going to enter into God's 1,000-year time of rest. It will be an amazing thing. And when God, at the rapture, amen, when God fulfills his plan, time will be up. You say, what happens with time up? Our work will end and we'll enter the day of rest. But not only that, there'll be a day of reckoning. The child of God's going to rest, but what about the sinner? We know there's no rest for the wicked. Revelation chapter number 14, the child of God's going to rest, but the sinner's never going to rest. And chapter 14, verse 9, it says, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of a holy angel, the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast in his image and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Remember that rich man in hell? I mean, he was crying out for a drop of water. There is no rest in hell. There'll be no rest in the lake of fire. There is no rest for the wicked. And the Bible said, whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You think about the sinner, there'll be no time for the end of their suffering. Their suffering will never end. That rich man in hell is still begging for a drop of water, and it's falling on deaf ears. They'll never have rest for time or eternity. That's why the Bible says the wicked are like a troubled sea that cannot rest. Have you ever seen a time when the ocean was never moving? The ocean is always moving. Tide in, tide out, the ocean is always moving. And the wicked will never have rest. The truth of the matter is, the wicked right now are at rest. Because they don't know what's coming upon them. And one day, time's going to be up. Our work will end, and hey, and there'll be a day of rest, there'll be a day of reckoning, but there'll be a day of revealing. Remember Jesus Christ said one day he's going to shout upon the rooftops every secret that was ever told? You know, if that was you, I wouldn't have too many secrets. You know what happens when secrets are revealed? Are people not embarrassed to death? You know, at the judgment seat of Christ, God's going to reveal every secret thing. And the child of God is going to be rewarded and exposed for every good and every evil thing. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And you think about that. Can you imagine if every secret you ever had was revealed one day? You see, when time's up, it's going to be a time of revealing. You know, they have all these, you know, they had all these shows and so on, and it was a game, and at the end they revealed everything, right? You know, the masked singer, the masked dancer, you know, can I see your voice? And people love those shows, do they not? I don't really care for them. I see the kids watching them, and they watch them over and over again. I'm thinking, why are you watching that again? I didn't like it the first time. But what's the ideal here? Hey, everything gets revealed in the end, right? You ever play Clue? What happens in the end? You find out, you know, where if it was Scarlet in the den with a revolver. It all gets revealed, right? Everything gets exposed in the end. Well, hey, and so it is one day with a child of God. Every secret is going to be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 3. And notice what it says in verse 13. Every man's work shall be manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, if you got any secrets, you might want to reveal them to Almighty God. And you might want to reveal some things that you never told. Because God's going to reveal them one day. And I'd rather reveal them now than reveal them then. Because time's going to be up. You don't have forever to make things right. Hey, you don't have forever to make amends. You know what the sad thing is? I see it all the time. Families will be at odds with one another, and one of the family members will die. And then there's no way you can say, I'm sorry, and I didn't mean it. This COVID-19 has caused a lot of that. And the remorse and the heartbreak and the mental anguish because things weren't made right. Time's up. Hey, and you can't make amends once time's up. God's going to reveal some things. And he says, if any man's work shall abide which he had built thereon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall suffer, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by the fire. Know ye not, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Hey, what's God saying? We got to appear for the judgment seat of Christ. We got to give account things done in our body, whether it were good or whether it were evil. And God's going to reveal. You know, we're going to find out one day who was really spiritual and who wasn't. I think we're going to be shocked. We're going to find out one day who really was genuine and sincere and who wasn't. You say, because it's going to be a time of revealing. When time's up, the work's over. And you ever saw someone you thought they were so spiritual and then one day they were revealed and you realized they weren't? That can be pretty painful. Hey, when time's up, our work is coming to an end. Work while you can. Do what you can when you can, because time's going to be up one day. Time's going to be up. Not only is our work going to be over, but our witness is going to be over. You know, you can't witness to people in hell. You understand that? You cannot witness to people in hell. It's like bringing flowers to the funeral home, to the funeral home, when you never did it while someone was living. Now think about that for a minute. You know, I do every now and then, every so often, I buy my wife flowers. You can ask her. I bring her flowers home. You say, why? Just because. She likes flowers. And I don't want to bring them to the funeral home. I don't want to bring flowers to the funeral home. I don't want to have to go to her grave and put a flower on it every day because I feel so guilty. No, the time for flowers is now. Hey, I get her chocolate sometimes. Most times she don't eat it, but I get her chocolate. I buy her dresses. I bought her a new ring this year. I went and got a new ring, you know, and she's got there on her right hand. And I say, you know what? When's the time for that? Now. Hey, one day our witness is going to be over. You say, what? Why are you even making mention of that? Because, you know, Ecclesiastes, Solomon said this: the dead know not anything. Now, we're not talking about soul sleep, but what we're talking about here is we're talking about they don't know what's happening on earth. They're at rest in heaven, and they don't care what's happening down here. They're in glory, amen. And see, when time's up, it's too late. So you have to show love and concern while you have time to do it. When time's up, it's too late to tell someone about Jesus Christ. It's too late to share your faith. It's too late to give the gospel tract out. Don't you know that rich man in hell was wishing someone had witnessed to him? What did he beg Father Abraham for? Hey, send someone to my house to testify to my five brethren, lest they also come to this place of suffering. Forgiveness, mercy, and grace is for now. But when time's up, there's no more forgiveness, mercy, and grace. I often think to people, they say, well, I'm going to witness to them sometime. When are you going to witness to them? When are you going to be a witness to family and friends and neighbors and coworkers? A guy told this story years ago. Missionary in Australia, he was in Pennsylvania eating at a... And I told this story years ago, but I'll tell it today because it's pertinent. He was at a restaurant and a highfalutin restaurant. The church had paid for him to go to an expensive restaurant, made reservations, and he went. It'd be kind of like going to what's that steak, name of that steak place over here? Ruth Chris Steakhouse. I've been there one time. If you're going to go there, plan on taking $500 with you. We took Brother Corky and Miss Marie over there. We celebrated when we bought the house. I told him, I said, when we buy the house, we're taking you. All right, and I said, and when we, you know, and we did, we took them. And we got in there, and man, we were looking at, our eyeballs fell out when we got in there, and my jaw dropped down, and I'm looking at it, and Brother Corky says, "Brother Chris, now, you know, I'll help." I said, "No, I told you, we are paying for you. You've taken me to dinner so many times. We're taking you to dinner. We're celebrating. We just spent $80,000. What's another $500? I mean, big deal. What's another $500? And man, I'm telling you, I mean, you know, over there, you order your steak, you pay for it. You order your sides. Every side, you pay for your side, right? And it racks up the bill. And then the guy, I mean, the waiter is expecting a real tip. He's not expecting 50 cents or $10 or $15. He's expecting a real tip. He's looking for a $100 bill or something like that, all right? That's Ruth Chris Steakhouse. It's swanky. It is. And we were, and you know, I mean, we were in there, and I said, we kind of dressed up to go. And I told the kids, I said, when we pay off the house, I said, we're going to take Corky and Marie, but they went home to be with the Lord. I said, we're going to take the kids. And Sarah said, "Dad," and he said, I kind of want to go. I said, "Okay, we're going to take you. We're going to take all the kids and the grandkids, and we're going to go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse. We're going to celebrate how we paid off the house, and we're going to go in debt to eat at Ruth Chris Steakhouse." But we are going to go. It's the best steak in town. I'll tell you right now, it is the best steak in town. And it really is sizzling when they bring it to your table. It's awesome. But it's not something you can do every day. But I want to do that before time's up. Because one day time's going to be up. Now, you say, what's the point you're making? The missionary's at that kind of restaurant. And while he was there, he noticed his waiter was distraught. You ever notice you're in a place and the waiter's distraught? I've been in restaurants and I saw the waitress, tears just running down their eyes. And, you know, everything was going wrong. And, you know, and I went and prayed with the one lady over at Golden Corral. And Golden Corral gave me my money back because I was so upset with Golden Corral. And I said, "I've never complained. They gave me my money back. They gave me $38 back." And I went over there and gave it to that waitress. I said, "I didn't complain because I wanted my money back. I complained because I want you to know how wrong you're running this place." And I went over there and I gave the $38 to that waitress. She was having a bad day. And I said, "I want you to know I pastor Fellowship Baptist Church, and this is for you in Jesus Christ's name. And I know you're having a bad day, and I hope that you have a better day." Gave her a gospel track. God impresses you to do things. The missionary was there and he saw the waiter was distraught. And God said, "You need to talk to him. I want you to talk to him now." And he said, "Lord, don't you see where we're at? This is the swankiest place in town. This is the high-end place to go. I can't be witnessing this guy. He's got more to do. He's a waiter. He can't be talking to me about Jesus Christ." And he said, "I want you to speak to him now." He bowed his head. He said, "Lord, I promise you, I will speak to him tonight when he gets off work." The missionary went out there and he sat in the, him and his family, sat in the parking lot for 2 hours waiting for this guy to get off work. Eventually, here comes the fire truck, here comes the police car, here comes the ambulance. And he said, "What happened?" He gets out and he goes, What happened? And he said, "The waiter killed himself." He went in there, and it was his waiter. And God said, "I told you to witness to him, and now he's in hell." You see, one day time's up. You don't have forever to be a witness. I've been talking to people, they're 75, 80 years old, and someone says, "Now's not the time to talk to them." When will be the time to talk to them? When time's up, you can't talk to them. You got to be a witness when you can be a witness, while you can be a witness, where you can be a witness. Life's funny. You can be talking to someone one day, and you say, "Well, I'll talk to them tomorrow," and tomorrow they're dead. That poor missionary brother, and he loved the Lord, he said, "I will never disobey God like that again in my life. But I will go to my grave bearing the blood of that waiter because I wouldn't do what God asked me to do." He had a man in Cincinnati. He's a good brother. He loves the Lord. worked at a big company, and he was talking to one of his coworkers, and his coworker said, told him, he flat out told him, "Don't you ever pretend to be a Christian around me again. You're not a Christian. You're a sinner going to hell is what you are." Oh my gosh, that guy got so mad. You can imagine, sinners get indignant when you tell them they're a sinner. The guy that I worked with his name was Mike, and I had a Jesus Saves t-shirt on. He says, what bank does Jesus save at? I said, Jesus saves at the bank of the heart of sinners, Mike. Oh, he went ballistic. I'm not a sinner. I said, I got news for you. Everyone's a sinner. So our dear brother got mad, but then he got concerned. And he went around looking. He even went to churches, made appointments with pastors. But no pastor would make time to talk to him because they thought he was a nobody. He got a gospel tract, found it somewhere, and he got saved. You know why he got saved? Because his co-worker witnessed to him and told him the cold, hard truth. You're a sinner, and you're going to hell if you don't get saved. Our dear brother's been saved for 30, 40 years now. But you know, when you look at me in the book of Romans, information is the friend of the Holy Spirit. Revelation chapter number 10. Notice what it says in verse number 14. It says, "How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. But see, one day time's going to be up. It's going to be up. Time's going to be over. It's going to be too late to do anything. So when are we going to witness to them? When are you going to talk to that neighbor? When are you going to talk to that coworker? When are you going to talk to that family member? My whole life people have been telling me it's not the right time. When is the right time? One day time's going to be up. And our witness will be over. Our work will be over. Can I tell you? One day our world will be over. You say, is the world going to end? Oh yeah, it's going to end one day. And I hear people saying all the time, "Oh yeah, the world's coming to an end. The world's coming to an end." They said that as Noah and his family went into the ark. And the world came to an end. Lot's sons-in-law said, Lot said, "The world's coming to an end, and God's going to judge this place." And they laughed and said, "Oh yeah, the world's coming to an end." And as soon as him and his family marched out of Sodom, it came to an end. The world's going to come to an end. One day time's going to be up. Look in Revelation 6 again and look at verse number 12. Revelation chapter number 6. Time's going to be up one day. It's going to come to an end. It's going to come to a close. I know they laugh. I know they mock. I know they scorn. But let me tell you, one day, time's going to be up. Revelation chapter 6 and verse number 12. Notice what it says. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain island removed out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and the rocks, and the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" One day time's going to be up. Look in 2 Peter chapter number 3. You know, usually time's up a lot sooner than we think. I was talking to your brother about our taxes. He does our taxes. And I said, brother, I know one day this is going to be over. And he said, he looked at me and said, it's going to be a lot sooner than you think. Now, I'm mortified because my tax situation is crazy. And I said, who's going to do my taxes? Right? He does our W-2s for the church. And I'm thinking, I said, man, I know this thing's coming sooner than later. And so is Jesus Christ. And so is the end of the world. It's going to be sooner than people think. Time's going to be up. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before of the holy prophets and of the commandment of the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall be in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. It wasn't that long ago. People said, well, they've been saying Jesus Christ is coming for the last 2,000 years. You're fulfilling the Bible when they say that. Time's going to be up. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing in the water and out of the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. That's talking about the flood of Noah. They laughed and they mocked and they told Noah, oh yeah, the world's coming to an end, it's coming to an end, it's coming. And then it did. But the heavens and the earth, which are now kept by the same word, are kept in store, revealed against fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The world wants global warming, they're going to get it. And God's going to destroy this world with fire. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Time's up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and goodness, looking for the hasting and coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. Guess what? Time's up, and one day this world's coming to an end. This world will be over. And when time's up, hey, every wrong will be made right, every evil will be judged, every misdeed will be repaid, and time shall be no more. You say, what happened when time's up? Our work will be over, our witness will be over, and the world will be over. And lastly, thank God, the war will be over. Isn't there always a celebration when the war comes to an end? I mean, they celebrated when war was over in Europe. They celebrated when war was over in the Pacific. We celebrated when the Korean War came to an end, when the Vietnam War came to an end. We celebrated, hey, we can't celebrate Iraq and Afghanistan because it's still going on. But won't it be a celebration when it's finally over? One day the war will end. You know why? Because it's going to end at the feet of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter number 2, hallelujah. One day, I mean, hallelujah for what God's going to do. Verse number 5, he said, let this mind be in you also, which in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, being found as a fashion of man. He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our war is going to end with the exaltation of Jesus Christ. And he's going to reign, hallelujah, forevermore. And the Bible says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. You know, when the war comes to an end, there's no more death. You say, are we at war with death? I think we are. I think that's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 8. This is what Solomon said. He said, "There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There's no discharge in that war." Hey, one day, hallelujah, our war will end. Our war will, death will end. And can I tell you? It's going to end at the feet of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what I said? That is what the Bible says explicitly. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, as Paul preached to the or wrote to the Corinthians, he said this in verse 22. He said, "For as in Adam all dies, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his first order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign till he had put all enemies under his," what? "Feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Thank God when time's up, our war with death will end. You know what the great thing about heaven is? There's no dying. When this world ends, when time ends, we go into eternity. And eternity is forever. Now, for the sinner, that's bad news. Because they're going into eternal what? Death. Eternal death. Where death is the beginning of eternal death. And they have no hope. But we're going into eternal what? Life. To be with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the war with death will come to an end. Remember what the people said? "Behold, we perish, we die. Shall we be consumed with dying?" And the answer was yes. Because the day that Eve ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil and then gave it to Adam, death passed upon all men. I told Larry and Marco yesterday, and they work at the junkyard, and I said, "Let me tell you something." They always want to throw down on the women. I said, "Let me tell you, it wasn't Eve that condemned the world. It was Adam that condemned the world. It was Adam that brought sin in the world. Wherefore is by one man sin, wherefore death passed upon one." Wherefore, let me get the scripture right here in the book of Romans. "As by one man death passed upon all men." It was Adam that brought sin into the world. And thank God, one day that war is going to be over. We've been at war with death for the last 6,000 years. And guess what? We've been at war with the devil for the same length of period. Aren't you glad one day the war with the devil is going to be over? Hey, it was the devil that brought the suffering upon Job, was it not? It was the devil, hey, that has brought disease and destruction and misery and hatred into our lives and our world. Revelation chapter number 20, you have the end of Satan. Thank God he's going to have an end. Thank God, hey, time's up for him also one day. He knows he has a short time. You read that in Revelation chapter 12. That's why he's making, matter of fact, look there first. Revelation chapter number 12, that's why he's making war with the saints, because he know that his time is up. He knows, hey, that the day, the judgment is coming. Verse 17, "The dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." We're at war with the world, the flesh, and the devil every day. But one day the war is going to be over. Revelation 20 and verse number 7. And it says, "And when the 1,000 years expired, Satan shall be loosed from his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, in number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Ever and ever." One day time's going to be up. And our war with death is going to be over. Our war with the devil is going to be over. I'll be glad when our war with disease is over. You know, there's no COVID-19 in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. Hallelujah. There's no diabetes and there's no stroke and heart attack and all that. Hey, thank God those things are gone forever. And God said they're gone forever. And He said this, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I don't know about you, I got my little pill box. You say what happens at 50? Get you a pillbox. And I've been looking at it, and I'm saying, I'm going to need a double pillbox soon. Morning and evening. And I'm saying, man, there's no discharge in this war. I understand why Dad Dunbar was spitting his medicine out. He said, I had enough of that. He had a quadruple pillbox. And Mom, every time you turn around, Mom's got a glass of water and some pills. And he's looking at her. And he's thinking, I ain't taking that. She said, oh, yes, you are. So he put it in his mouth, and she'd turn her head, and he'd spit it out. And then she'd just look at him until he swallowed it. Won't you be glad when that's all over with? I tell people, you better do what you can, when you can, while you can, because there'll be a day where you can't do nothing. Time's up. Thank God one day our war with depravity will be over. I'll be so glad when that's over. You know, in heaven, we won't struggle with this evil mind. You know why? Because we're going to have the mind of Christ. And everything that's impure and evil and wicked and ungodly will no longer be in our thought process. You say, what's God to do? You ever heard where they talk about wiping a computer? When you wipe a computer, nothing's there, right? Right? You know what God's going to do one day? He's going to wipe all the filth out of our minds. Isaiah 65, he says this in verse 16 and 17, that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from mine eyes. You know, I told you, I can remember every evil thing I've ever done. I hate that I can remember every... I would like to forget them. I'll be sitting around thinking about things, and some evil thing that I did when I was 6 years old, or 8 years old, or 12 years old will pop up into my mind. And I'm thinking, I sure wish that was gone. I sure wish I didn't know that I did those things. Right? I wish they were gone. And he said this. He said, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. We're not going to be in heaven thinking about the good old times that weren't that good. Right? We're going to rejoice. And you know what? You know what the worst part of hell is? We're not going to remember anything. We won't even, when we go down and see the valley of Gehenna, and those people are burning in the lake of fire, and they're writhing and they're screaming. Someone will yell to you and call you, and you won't. I don't know you. I don't know you. Husbands, wives, sons, daughters. I don't know you. I don't know you. You see, because their memory is never. They're like me. They remember everything in hell. They remember every time they rejected Jesus Christ. What did Father Abraham say? He said, son, remember in your lifetime when you had it so good and Lazarus was tormented, but now he's comforted and you're tormented in this flame. You see, in hell, they're always going to remember. You say what? Because time's up. Time's up. Had a gospel track that said it's later than you think. Had a clock on the front. You know, it's always later than you think. Does anyone ever think they're going to have a heart attack or a stroke? Or they're going to have some dreaded disease come upon them? It always comes without warning, doesn't it? It's kind of like this COVID-19. It came without warning. Time's up. What are you going to do? Hey, the time to work is going to be over when time's up. The time to witness is going to be over when time's up. This world's going to be over. This time's going to be up. It's going to be up. Hey, what are you going to do when time's up? I'm glad, hallelujah, the war is going to be over. I'm tired of battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. Thank God the war will be over. But it's going to be sooner than you think. That's why the Bible says to do what? Redeem the time. Because the days are evil. We better use the time we got to do something for Jesus Christ. Sinners better use the time they got to do something about their eternal soul. In this world, their time's going to be up before they know it. I'm laughing. They say by 2050, there'll be zero carbon emissions in America. There won't be an America in 2050. You say, why? Because time's going to be up. Let's stand for prayer. What are you going to do when time's up? What are you going to do? Let's pray. Miss Susan's coming. Brother Doug's coming. We would all do well to handle our time a little better. Because time's going to be up one day. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the word. I pray you would bless it. And God, it's a sobering thought to know that one day it's going to be over. It's going to be up. And people that we've been waiting to witness to, people that we, God, want to see go to heaven, it's going to be too late. The day is going to be over. Lot waited too late to tell his sons-in-law. He thought it would go on forever and ever, and it didn't. And the angel came and said, go warn them right now, but they wouldn't believe the warning. And God, I pray that we could use our time a little better. Lord God, to work and to witness.
Yes.
And to bring some people to Jesus Christ before it's too late. And God, for that sinner who's in my sound of my voice today, whether they're listening on, whether they're here, whether they're listening on Sermon Audio, YouTube, or Facebook, may they understand that one day time's going to be up. And they're saying, one day I'll be saved. But God, they'll be one day too late one day. They will be a day late and a dollar short. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would open their eyes. And God, that with the information that they'd see that judgment is coming. God, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Help them to see that surely they'll stand in judgment before you one day. Bless the word. Speak to all of our hearts now, Father. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. Brother Doug's going to sing this morning. And ask yourself, what are you going to do when time's up? Sing it, Brother Doug.
Have thine.